The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And Bud Pleasant, good afternoon. Welcome to the program on this Tuesday. A lot to do today. We'll talk about basketball. Yeah, we realize what is in front of us. The men's tournament, the women's tournament. We'll get into that as well with a number of SEC teams in high positions, including Tennessee, which continues its NCAA tournament streak. We have many more things to get to, including your phone calls, a lot of great guests. Let's get to some headlines right now. And yes, we have been in basketball overload, but don't forget football. Who let the dogs out? Are we doing this again? The Georgia hype train is in full speed. Things are going pretty well for the Togs. 8-2 last season, won last four games. JT Daniels has already won the Heisman Trophy, according to my sources. They return 80% of the defense. A lot of key returners. George Pickens, of course, Amir White. A couple of departures. Key game, right at the beginning. Clemson. At Auburn later. And, of course, day before Halloween, the Gators in a multiple revenge game. Meanwhile, the LSU situation remains in the news, and Scott Woodward, the athletic director, this was not on him, but he is inherited, saying he does not expect any more punishment for suspended employees after the Title IX probe. That seems final. It may not please many people who continue to protest in Baton Rouge over the way this has all gone down. Meanwhile, the NCAA recruiting dead period may end in June. Recruiting changed forever. That, according to Dennis Dodd. No hyperbole there, of course. And I mentioned at the top, the women's field was announced last night. South Carolina with a number one seed. What about A&M? They got a number two seed, even though they won the SEC during the regular season. Or I should say during the tournament. Meanwhile, Georgia, high seed for them. Tennessee, bouncing back well. Kentucky, Arkansas. Alabama is in the field. It's been forever since that has happened. And speaking of women, the most famous women's coach in the land right now, Geno, has tested positive for COVID. He will miss the first two games. Something tells me UConn will survive. The referees checked into their hotel. Actually, they didn't check in. Some of the top referees in the business, including Teddy Valentine, the most famous television hog of them all, their rooms were not ready. Has that ever happened to you, by the way? Has it ever not happened? They all went out and got something to eat. Somebody tested positive, and they were all sent home. See, if hotels would only check people in when they're supposed to, that wouldn't have happened. We have a lot to do on the program today. I mentioned the phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. Connor O'Gara joins us in a minute. Roman Harper. Maria Taylor hosting the coverage last night of the women on ESPN. Tom Van Herren will join us as well. And Keith Ferguson on Auburn opening up spring drills. Justin Ferguson. His brother is Keith, I'm sure. We are back to your phone calls right now to start things off at 855-242-7285. And let's start with Jim, who is in Illinois. Hello, Jim. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Do you remember, I want to talk about the Omar Payne situation, and as a Tennessee grad as I am, as you are, the first thing I thought of was Juwan Jennings. 2 years ago, he stepped on a Vanderbilt player out of bounds. Do you remember that play?
I do. I sure do.
He was suspended for the first half of the bowl game. Now, I thought it was the SEC office that had done that, or maybe they did it in concert with Tennessee's athletic department. Do you remember how that came about? But I thought that was the SEC office that did that.
Well, yeah. Well, the SEC, I don't remember specifically. The SEC does have jurisdiction, but that is you. But here's what I don't know, and if somebody's watching, maybe they can let me know. The SEC has jurisdiction over the conference. I don't know what happens now, because now we are no longer in conference play. We are in the NCAA tournament. So I asked this question without knowing the answer, and that's, you know, that is where we are right now. We are in a different place. So I'm sure the school could do something as well, but I have not really heard too much from the University of Florida. Now, it is interesting, as somebody pointed out last night, the athletic director at Tennessee, Danny White's brother, happens to be the basketball coach at Florida, Mike White. I wonder if they have spoken about this.
I'm curious about that. Before I ask you this next thing, I'm going to spit out my chewing tobacco.
Yes.
And talk about Lawyer Mel from Florida. He was talking about the assumption of risk. You know, when you play athletics, he was talking about flying elbows. And I got to thinking about, you know, flying elbows are a part of basketball, but there are boundaries. And it seems to me, and I'm going to brag, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm kind of bragging here. I would think that when you cross boundaries, and I would think if you use your elbow as a weapon, as Payne did, then I don't think a basketball player goes on a court thinking that somebody's going to use an elbow on them in a vicious manner like that. You remember Myles Garrett in the NFL 2 years ago? He took the helmet off a quarterback and swung it at him.
I do remember that, Jim.
That, you know, when you go on a football field, you assume a lot of risk for injuries. I don't think you assume that somebody's going to take your helmet off and use it as a weapon and swing it at your head. Assumption of risk, I think, only goes so far. And the last example I'll give you, this is many, many years ago. Juan Marichal, great, great Hall of Fame pitcher.
I know where you're going here.
What's that?
I said, I know where you're going here. Giving
Johnny
my age
Roseboro,
away.
Johnny Roseboro, yep. The Dodger catcher, threw the pitch back to the pitcher just a little, maybe close to Juan's ear. He didn't like that. And Juan Marichal hit Roseboro over the head with his bat.
He did. It was one of the biggest controversies in baseball history.
Yep. And now, I don't think a baseball player goes on a field assuming that somebody's going to hit them over the head with a bat. So there has to be boundaries in sports. You don't have license to just do anything. And it's not unprecedented to have criminal charges presented and convictions, because it's happened more than once in the National Hockey League.
You're absolutely right about that. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And let me grab the aforementioned Mel from Florida. Hello, Mel.
Well, Paul, happy Tuesday.
Hey there.
I, first of all, want to apologize to you and Jim from Illinois that just called, and Andrew and the whole Vol Nation for my insensitive comments yesterday. I hope that you guys will see fit to forgive me.
Oh, my goodness. Can you give me a second? I need to call my friend William in Maryville so he won't file the lawsuit against you.
Well, now that the apology has been made, I was hoping you'd reconsider. I don't want to go around looking over my shoulder.
I tell you what we can do, Mel. I don't want to speak for my personal attorney here, but I'm sure we can work out a settlement.
Well, you just name it. But, again, one thing we talked about yesterday, I think you might have a good, strong suit for liability, but I'm not sure about the damages, because I thought yesterday's show was one of the best of the year.
Well, thank you. I would agree with you on that. I thought there was a lot of I still feel somewhat negligent myself, not understanding the jurisdiction or who has the jurisdiction here. But we will find that out.
Well, one other comment. I can't remember his name, but Ivan the Great and Terrible from Florida called me and wants me to represent him against the guy that called him an idiot, stupid, and a moron. But I had to break the bad news to Ivan that truth is an absolute defense to defamation. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thank
Later.
You. Yeah, I don't know whether Ivan could be declared a public figure or not, so we could hide behind Times versus Sullivan, but he is now. We will take a break here. We have a lot to do on the Tuesday afternoon program. A couple hours remaining. We just got started. Already off to a good start. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check out Duke, who is in Virginia. Hey, Duke, thank you, and good afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Try that again. Sometimes when you don't hit... go ahead. For some reason, my buttons are not working here. I'll try another call. How about John up next? Hey, John. John, you there?
Hey, Paul. And I've got to tell you up front, I'm not an attorney, okay?
I'm glad to hear that. We've had a few.
If I were, I would have put in for CLE continuing education credits listening to yesterday's show.
There was a lot to learn yesterday, I can assure you.
Well, the roof came in when you said, is there a lawyer in the house that can answer this question? And I knew it was all over after that. Anyways, I'm going to touch on two subjects, LSU and the playoffs, of course. As a former HR, human resource executive, I'm just amazed at how everyone's getting off light on everything that went down there. Obviously, Miles is a bad character, but the things that went on with the sexual battery and assault and just see them slap a few wrists, if I had been there, well, I would have fired them all. And I know when you fire for a cause, it's problematic and you could have some lawsuits, but I would just done settlements. Same with the basketball coach over there. I would just clean house, but I think it's embarrassing that they slapped a couple risks and they're going to move on. That's just my perspective, but I'll move on to basketball.
Okay, sure.
And obviously our state's in shock and awe because we don't have Kentucky and Louisville, but I don't like either. And, I grew up in Chicago, and I'm a Big Ten fan, and I'm just amazed. Big Ten has, what do they have, 3 in the top 10, 4 in the top 15?
Yeah.
So I think they'll do well. And I'm really a huge fan of Alabama and of LSU basketball. But it seems when you look at how they set it up, they took the best team, Gonzaga, in the West, and they gave them a pretty easy path. And then they took what I consider the worst team of the four, which was Michigan, because they lost the key player. And they backed in, but they deserved to be number one. They gave them the worst schedule. And likewise, they gave it to LSU and Alabama as well, because Michigan's got to get past LSU and Alabama, while LSU's got to get past Michigan and FSU. And I think Alabama's got to play Connecticut and Texas. So I think East Division is just the meat grinder of all time for Michigan, for the two best teams in the SEC.
Yeah, John, I think sometimes when you know, if you're the number one seed in the tournament, which Gonzaga is, you should have a bit of a break. And I think what they did was they made up for it by giving the Michigan regional, which Michigan would be the weakest of the four, the toughest road. And by placing Alabama in there, you have two of the top five teams in the country.
Yeah, and there's always sidelines and stories, and I'm excited perhaps to see Michigan play Georgetown and see two college greats, two NBA greats, and Juwan Howard and Patrick Ewing face each other. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, they certainly missed by a couple of years in their college game, but when Juwan Howard was hired, a lot of people shook their head and said, "What's the deal here? He really doesn't have the experience." But he has proven to be quite extraordinary. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Larry, who is in Louisiana. Hello, Larry. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you,
Paul. I've been putting this call off for quite some time, but your boy Squirrel over there in Mississippi, he's got you fooled just like Hugh Freeze had you fooled. I got a brother who lives in Madison, Mississippi. And old Squirrel, he's not telling you everything, Paul.
So what am I, anyway, I understand the Hugh Freeze con, but tell me about Squirrel. I'm far more concerned about Squirrel than Hugh Freeze.
Well, according to my brother, years back, old Squirrel was a big Ole Miss fan, but he got tired of LSU, who he hates, beating Ole Miss. So he jumped on the Alabama bandwagon. But the next time you talked to him, asked him about the morning, he woke up and he had a picture of a black bear, a rebel, a land shark, all in his yard. Ask him about that.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not on top of all that, he's from the Knoxville area, so it makes no sense at all. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. Alabama, Illinois, or Gonzaga? Who's your pick?
Gonzaga.
Yeah, I agree with you that they would have to go undefeated and not lose a single game. And I think the last team to maybe do that was Bobby Knight in Indiana. I think it was 76.
Yeah, it's almost happened a couple of other times. And I believe it was 90, UNLV was undefeated until the final game, and Kentucky was undefeated until the semifinals in 2015. It is a very rare thing to do, go coast to coast.
Yes, it is. And I'm a big Indiana fan for family reasons, and I'm a big Bobby Knight fan too, in spite of all of his warts, and he's had a few of them, bless his heart. But anyway, I think Georgia's going to lose to Clemson, and they're going to lose to Alabama, and it's going to be the same old thing this year. I don't know who's hyping Georgia, but they haven't looked at who we're playing the bookends to the season anyway.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from in that. They'll be underdogs, albeit slight, in both of those games. Let's check out Steve, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Steve. Good afternoon.
Hello, Pat. I'm a first-time caller, and I wanted to talk to you about a play-in team that could be a spoiler in the Alabama quadrant of the bracket. It's a team that... It's been to the Final Four 8 of the last 25 years, and they've knocked off two number one seeds and a number two seed in the last month. And that team happens to be Michigan State. And I just want to say, watch out for Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can get around the fact that Tom Izzo is one of the greatest coaches of the modern era, but it's hard for me to buy into his team.
Well, they did have a rough midseason, but if you look at their track record the last month, it's not bad.
No, and I will say that, you know, what you did in November is irrelevant right now. It's hot teams are hot for a reason this time of the year, and that's why you can't just look at records. You have to look at last 10 games, and that really does matter. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. That would be quite a matchup if Alabama ended up against Michigan State, because Nate Oates was a high school basketball coach in suburban Detroit, and his mentor was Tom Izzo. We'll take a break. More to come. Connor O'Gara coming up here in a minute. We'll talk dogs, football, that is, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You hear, we were listening to Dan Mullen during the break, talking about how close they came to beating Alabama. Connor O'Gara joining us from Saturday Down South, and now we're going to talk about the hype train of the dogs. Connor, thank you. Good to have you on. And let's talk about another season that begins with hype all over the Georgia Dogs. Is it legitimate, and can they finally close the deal?
I think there's a lot of legitimacy to it. And I think what Georgia has done to finally evaluate its issues is the most important thing. And that's why if you're going to make a comparison to past years, you can say, well, this is different. What they're doing with their passing game, with bringing in Todd Monken last year, obviously, and finally feeling like they have the pieces to execute that offense, that's the biggest thing. And that's the reason that this hype train exists. And of course, when there's 1980 hanging over the program, the hype train is just different. It's different at a place like Georgia where they haven't had these top 40 passing offenses. Do you realize that Georgia hasn't had a top 40 passing offense since Aaron Murray left? They are starved for a quarterback who can stretch the field. And it looks like they have that with JT Daniels, who isn't a perfect passer. And I know he still has some accuracy issues to work through. But, I mean, that's at the root of why this legitimacy exists. And some have overlooked some of the defensive deficiencies that Georgia can have. But it exists for a reason. And there is no more intriguing storyline in all of college football than whether or not Georgia is going to end the 1980 jokes and win a national title this year.
And they don't have to waste much time finding out. And even though they could survive a loss, so let me get your thoughts on the opener against Clemson. The game is neutral site, even though it's right down the road from Clemson's campus, about an hour and 45 minutes away. How critical is that game just to show the nation that Georgia is legit?
It's massive. And if you thought that the hype train was going fast, wait until that game if they are to win it. Now, obviously, they're going against a Clemson defense that basically returns everyone, and that is going to be an extraordinary unit that Brent Venables returns. But, you know, my big question is DJ Uiagalelei going to throw all over that Georgia secondary, which, as any Georgia fan will tell you right now, that needs to be addressed. This is not a unit right now that looks particularly good. Kirby Smart has said as much that so far during the workouts, the offense is ahead of that defense. That's to be expected. You would hope so. But I think it's interesting. You know, Georgia is 126 out of 127 FBS teams in percentage of returning defensive production. That's the great stat that Bill Connolly puts together every single year. And I think that we've overlooked that to a certain extent. And we're going to find out how much that matters in that first game against Clemson. But that's a big mismatch, being able to have, you know, DJ Uiagalelei throwing to Justin Ross against a defense that has a lot of questions to answer.
We just had a call from a Georgia fan, Connor, and you know, he's more of an old guard. He just doesn't buy it. And you and I both have heard from a number of people that don't buy it. Why should any Georgia fan believe this year is going to be any different than the last 40 years?
If you're buying the Georgia hype and why it can be different than 2008, you know, look at 2008 and the reasons that that team didn't live up to those expectations, where it's preseason number one. It's the first time in program history they start off in the AP poll as number one, but they weren't necessarily number one by a wide margin. They had one more vote in the AP poll than Ohio State. People forget about that, but that Georgia team had one clash in the top four in the 5 years leading up to that. Kirby Smart has done nothing but sign top four classes for the last 5 years. I know that there are Georgia fans who don't care about recruiting rankings anymore, because what do they really mean if you can't win a national championship? But just in terms of their margin for error, I think that that's the thing that you're buying into more so than ever. And the fact that Georgia has finally modernized its approach. It's not trying to win with an approach that's dated, and it's doing so with talent that should be top of the line. And, you know, obviously we look into the way that a team finishes. and the identity of Georgia down the stretch was much, much different. Who wouldn't want to go back and see JT Daniels against that Alabama team or against that Florida team even? I think it'd be great. But at the same time, you know, I don't think that it's fair to say that this is automatically 2008 all over again. I think that that team had a lot more potential holes in it. But, you know, of course, it's national championship or bust. And I'm not going to fault Georgia fans who are going to wait, the L. Duncans of the world who want to hold off and say, look, we're getting ahead of our skis yet again. This is just going to be Charlie Brown pulling the football out from under us all over again. I'm not necessarily willing to sit here today and say that Georgia's going to win a national championship, but, you know, I think that there's
Connor, hold on a second. I realize you're in the business. I realize you're in the business of getting clicks, but what are you really saying here? Are you saying it's the same old Georgia? They're contenders, but they're not going to finish? Or are they going to finish the job?
I don't think that Georgia's winning a national championship if I'm sitting here predicting today. No, I'm okay. Not saying that.
Connor, what is all this about then, other than filling time between the end of last season and the beginning of next? Because it sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar. And I mean, I think that if there's one topic that people are going to want to talk about more than anything other on your show, it's whether or not Georgia's going to win a national championship. And it is, like I said, it's the big storyline in college football. I don't necessarily think that it's going to happen. If I'm sitting here predicting today, I'll give you the boring prediction. I'm going to say that Clemson's going to win a national championship. I think that you look at what they return from an offensive standpoint, and I think that that's a team that is absolutely loaded, so loaded in the front seven that, yeah, I know they struggled against Ohio State, but that's a group that should be able to make some big strides this year. Yeah, what are we all talking about if it's not for a national championship? That's a good question, but it's something that I think that if Georgia loses a game, it won't mean same old Georgia. It'll mean those same old expectations die, but it's not to say that this team is a failure or it's a repeat of 2008.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So how would you compare what we're talking about now to the 17 Georgia team, the 12 team, the ones that both had legitimately good chances? But the problem both times, as many fear it will be this time, it's not even Clemson we're talking about. It's Alabama.
It's still Alabama. You're right. You're absolutely right. And seeing Alabama potentially in an SEC championship game is the thing that's going to loom over this program. And I subscribe to the Reese Davis theory of until Georgia stops worrying about beating Alabama, Georgia's not going to beat Alabama. And we've seen Kirby Smart get in his own head in those situations. But I still think that this team is built to win a ton of games and potentially to be in that spot where even if it does have one loss, what's to say Georgia can't run the table and still be there playing for a shot at the college football playoff in December in Atlanta? I mean, that's par for the course for Kirby Smart, but I think that this is a team that, in my opinion, is worthy of that hype. And there will be there will be people in the media that are going to pick them to win a national championship. I just can't sit here today and say that I'm one of them.
Right now, would you pick them to win the SEC championship?
I'd give you that. I say if I'm picking a team to win the SEC championship, I'd go with Georgia. And I think that some of the issues with Florida are part of that and some of the questions that they have to answer, especially with the pass catchers. You don't go from having the number one passing offense in the country and having that much turnover at the position to not having some questions about that. And I think that we're still in wait and see mode with Emory Jones. But, you know, I would say that Georgia right now has the best chance to win the SEC. And that would be my pick way early on. But You know, I think that Alabama is very quickly capable of silencing all of that. I mean, how often have they done that? We're a month into the year, we look up and we're like, oh, Alabama's number one team in the country. And all these questions that we had about this team coming in, they suddenly seem gone, and they've found a way to replace some very key options. But I'll give you that. I'll say, if I'm predicting today, that Georgia would be my team to win the SEC.
And that's assuming they beat Alabama in the championship game. I just want to make sure I've got all this correct.
And you'd love me to go there, wouldn't you? You know, all I haven't.
Well,
done,
well, Connor, I don't mean to be Connor. You're the one that laid out this preamble here for Georgia before I asked you about the national championship and the SEC championship. I'm just trying to make sure I understand your speech correctly.
I think two out of the last 3 years I predicted Georgia to beat Alabama in the SEC championship has not worked out yet. But sure, we'll go on record. We'll say right here, you know, what's the date today? March 16th, 2021. We'll say, sure, Georgia will beat Alabama in the SEC championship. Kirby Smart will finally exercise the demons. He'll get to a playoff. He'll be able to overcome the Alabama hurdle. I'm still not saying that Georgia's winning a national championship, because I think the field to get there could be really difficult. Who knows? Maybe another rematch with Clemson would be on the
table.
What
is more?
I'll say they get there.
What is more important to a Georgia fan, getting over the Alabama hump or winning the national championship?
It should be winning the national championship, I would hope. You know, ask Florida about that question. Florida finally gets over the Georgia hurdle this past year, and what is it good for? I mean, the way that Florida finished the season, I think that it's a fair question to ask. Whose season would you have rather had, Florida or Georgia's? Yeah, Florida got the win in Jacksonville, but if you don't take care of business down the stretch, and if you don't ultimately reach that final destination, you know, I think that there's still a lot left on the table. And I think that Georgia fans at this point, yeah, you know, even if it didn't result in Alabama in the SEC championship and it was instead Texas A&M or LSU, I think they would take that 10 times out of 10. As long as you get to end the 1980 jokes, that's what it's all about.
Anything else in the SEC that grabs you as spring is opening, other than the Georgia hype train?
I'm really interested to see Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a team that I just think is so, so interesting on a variety of levels now, with not being in the Kellen Mond era anymore and seeing what Jimbo Fisher's offense is going to be capable of with a new signal caller. And I thought Kellen Mond played tremendously. Don't get it twisted, especially this past year. But I'm really fascinated to see what Texas A&M can do with some of these expectations. A team that I think they returned something like 11 of 12 guys who caught a pass. That's on top of what's arguably the best backfield in all of college football with Isaiah Spiller, Devon Achane, and Anaya Smith. So I think that Texas A&M is one of those teams that you can't help but look at, and you wonder how they're going to handle those expectations. And now that, you know, they can't play the disrespect card and they should start off as a top 10 team, what are they capable of doing? And is Jimbo Fisher going to be the guy who's actually going to be the first Nick Saban assistant to beat him? You know, I think that that's a question that is at least worth asking with the year that the Aggies put together.
Connor O'Gara going ahead and saying it right here, right now, that the Dogs will beat Alabama this year. The national championship may have to wait, but they'll get past Alabama. Connor, thank you. Always enlightening talking to you.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You got it. We'll take a short break. Back with much more as we continue. Get your reaction to that at 855-242-7285. It is Tuesday, and we have a long way to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and it is great to have all of you here. Duke is up next in Virginia. Hey, Duke, thanks. Good afternoon. Duke, you there? Duke?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, I think who you should try to get on this show would be Rick Barry and either Fran Tarkenton or Vince Dooley.
Yeah, we've had Vince Dooley many, many times. We have had Fran Tarkenton. I don't think Rick Barry's ever been on. Why would you want him on?
Because he has a lot of opinions about basketball that you'd probably want to hear.
Okay. Well, we are
and,
all... We are always interested in opinions here.
Well, anyway, he could give you some opinions for sure. But he's a very outspoken person. He's a great athlete, too.
Oh, absolutely. Phenomenal baseball, basketball player. I'm sorry. Hey, thank you for the suggestion. That was very nice of you. Alex is up next. Hey, Alex.
Oh, hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I just want to say real quick, you asked Connor if a Georgia fan would rather win a championship or beat Bama. I'm a student down here, and I can promise you it's win the championship. Next thing, though, to that point, I don't think anybody around here actually expects it, but we're still disappointed the same. And then we're all asking, why not? So at what point is the secondary really enough of an excuse? Do you start questioning Kirby as a coach? Obviously not as a recruiter, but, like, why not? Why not us this year?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. And the whole conversation with Connor left me a little bewildered because I really thought – he was making a case for Georgia winning it all, and then he didn't. And
yeah,
I didn't really want – I mean, frankly, I don't care who he picks to win the SEC. It's ridiculously early, but if he wanted to go ahead and pick Georgia, mm-hmm. he's welcome to do it.
Yeah, I just don't see how Clemson's significantly better. But
yeah, no, I mean, my mind is if you can beat Alabama, you can beat Clemson. I don't care where the game is played. In fact, I believe Georgia is going to beat Clemson in Charlotte. I don't even think that's a hard decision to make.
Okay. So if we don't, if we come up short, though, is it too early to start questioning Kirby's coaching ability?
Like no, said, no, not really, because you can't I frankly don't think the game is that important. I know I disagree with everyone who has to hype it up for the next eight months, but Georgia can lose that game and still get to Atlanta and beat Alabama and win it all. It's really not that big a deal.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. And thank you. Keep trusting Kirby.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is you have to get to the SEC championship game with as few scratches on you as possible. If Georgia rolls in there 11-1, beats Alabama, so what? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Mac is in Baltimore. Hey, Mac.
Hey, Paul. I got to say, listening, I'm happy that Georgia fans rather win a championship than beat Bama, because Connor was also saying that he thinks that Georgia fans are happier with their season than Florida fans are happier with their season this year. I that's shocking to me. Yeah, Florida ended poorly, you know, three straight losses, two to top 10 teams, but they still won the East. I mean, you look at the past 3 years, Georgia's finished top 10 in the two prior to this. I mean, Florida has in the one prior to this one, winning their bowl game, but they still would have rather been Georgia winning the SEC East. Even if that does lead to a, you know, obvious loss in the SEC championship, it's still a championship. So Connor just, that was an interesting take, but I think really Georgia, last year they had a shot to win it all. I don't get why people don't talk about that enough. They should have beaten Florida, and then Florida DBs, I think it was Sean Davis, broke the mailman on his first touchdown, and they weren't ready to put JT in, so they lost. But if JT's in that game, Georgia wins.
Yeah, I mean, the season was lost last year by a couple of decisions that were made before the season. I think if Jamie Newman had played, they would have been in significantly better shape. His departure, and even though everyone covering the team acted like, you know, they were glad to see him go, I thought that was one of the biggest mistakes of the year. And, you know, JT's recovery was hard to quantify because it was so hard to read. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break here. We have a lot more to do, and we hope you'll stick around. We've already talked to Connor O'Gara, and we will talk to you right after this.